Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love Lexi Navigator.
Low hanging fruit. We do, though. I think I'm a big Lexi Navigator fan. I bet you I would absolutely love her work if I knew what it sounded like. But she sounds like she's a real pop princess, so I feel like I already know that I love her.
Yes, I love a pop princess. Yeah. I'm Michael Ann. With me, as always, is Bethany.
Hello, everyone. Good. Hopefully, we just beat USF this past weekend and are on our way to beating Miami. Nope, wait, LSU's first. LSU this upcoming weekend. But in actuality, we've only played one game at the time of this recording. But by the time you're listening, hopefully we're 2-0. Hello, everyone.
Did they win?
We did win. Yes, we played literally no one. So if we didn't win, it would have been real embarrassing. Not to say that it's not impossible to have happened, but we did thankfully get the W. So I'm hoping to keep trucking along that way. By the time y'all are listening to this, NFL will be back as well. So we're all officially all the football is back. My fantasy football team will hopefully I got all the people I wanted in the draft.
I was at my brother's wedding during the fantasy football draft at work. So I just ended up with whoever.
I just auto drafted for you. Sometimes that works out really well, actually. Auto draft teams can be fire because, of course, the computer is giving you the best person available. So there's perks to that, I will say. Definitely perks. We have a 16 person league this year, so everyone,
holy shit,
please send out good vibes to the fantasy football gods on my back. This is going to be impossible. And my movie just dropped down to 5th place, so I'm picking 5th now instead of 4th, which isn't that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things, but I still was like sad that it dropped me down one spot in the draft. That's okay.
Damn.
Yeah, it's still a great movie. How to Train Your Dragon. What is if you haven't seen it, you should watch it. It was delightful.
Yeah. I loved the animated ones that I feel like came out 2 years ago, but obviously.
But yeah, it was longer than that time. Like, I'm telling you, it's crazy, isn't it? Yeah, the animated films I'm a massive fan of. So I was really hyped that I got the live action one as my movie of the summer. Even though I was a little worried because I feel like live action reboots have not been great. But this is DreamWorks' first time dabbling in it. And I got to say, I think they did a really good job with it. I was very pleased that it was very good. And again, was it necessary to be made? No, none of them are technically. But if it brings a new generation of fans into the books/movies, that's great because I think they're delightful. And for people who don't like animated movies, you're wrong. But if you don't, and you could only possibly watch it in live action, I get it. Like, there are some perks to live action stuff. Like, there are certain emotions that can only be emoted on a real human face. So that's, you know, I get it. There's perks to it. Jay Baruchel's voice can be annoying. I understand. So if those things are problems for you, check out the live action. Still, the story and the heart of it is still the same. So that, I was pleased.
I'll have to watch it when it comes to streaming.
Yeah, that's good. When it gets on the old, I'm assuming it'll go to Peacock. When it comes to the old Peacock, give it a watch.
For my Real Housewives of Salt Lake City to come back.
The goods. We were out of YouTube TV was giving us some issues. So we are like behind on episode of the challenge. And the excitement I have to catch up on the challenge cannot be described, truly. So I will be very much looking forward to that. Any other bits and bobs? Any little chatty bits if we need to chat about before I give the warnings?
It's September 1st.
September 1st. Yeah. Just so you know. So if anything exciting has happened or bad has happened and we're not talking about it, that's why. For us, it is September 1st. So if anything terrible has happened, just a blanketed, holy crap, can't believe, so sorry. our government is trash. That's likely probably something trashy our government has done. And if it's the good thing,
we're going to have an insert in the beginning of the next episode.
Yeah, we will come and we will tag in for that. Yeah, we will 100% be coming in to celebrate that. So best believe. Hopefully we have a tag for this episode. Oh my God, could you imagine? But yeah, if it's a good thing, hells yeah. Alas, since we don't know which way things are going in a couple of weeks, here we are. We're recording. We are discussing chapter 17, 18 of Once and For All. Some good stuff here today, but also sad stuff. This is the most of all episodes where I could possibly warn you that if you cannot handle school shooting, mentions of school shootings, gun violence, anything of that sort, please, 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 please do not pass go. Do not listen to this episode because this is the one where it is going to come the most into play. And we will see you again. Obviously, again, this book is unfortunately far too timely in our country. So if right now it's not something you can listen to, you want to come back later, cool, cool, cool. If you can never listen to it, also cool, cool, cool. We will catch you on the next novel or the next Chaos episode. With the heavy hitting stuff out of the way, watch us on YouTube. We're cute. Michael Ann has a cute septum piercing now. I have a bob. If you haven't seen the bob yet, come see the bob. It's great. See the bob. Come see it. We have a good time here on the YouTube. Come hang out with us and watch the stuff. If you want to continue listening, that's cool too. Anyways, once and for all, just a quick little recap again for you guys and gals. Let's admit it, mostly gals who haven't maybe listened to the last couple episodes, haven't read this book in a while, and you want a little refresher. Our girl Luna, not to be confused with my dog or Luna Blue, is our main protagonist of this story. She's great. She has gone through it though, because unfortunately her boyfriend Ethan was killed tragically. And so she has been grieving. Her mother and her mother's bestie, William, run a wedding planning business, and she's working for them. This is her last summer before she, like, goes away. So last summer after just graduating from high school. Her best friend is Jilly. We feel for Jilly because she has to take care of her brothers and sisters, and that's bullshit. Ambrose is our main guy of this novel. He has a dog named Ira that he saved. Ira is very cute. Ambrose is very funny. The tape dispenser incident. We love him. He's adorable. He's a bit much sometimes, but we still are charmed by him. Yes. And that's pretty much all you need to know. They've made a bet. The bet is going on. Luna has started trying to date. Ambrose is trying to find a girl to take things seriously with. And that basically catches you up to where we are today, which is chapters 17 and 18. And one last time, 18 is going to be really difficult. So just blanket warning. It is trigger warning. It is terrible. Okay. But chapter 17 is a good time. Let's start there.
Yay. So Luna is grumpy in this chapter. Okay. It is the day after the party when she went to the party with Leo, and then Ambrose left with Leo's friend Lauren. So that's a person now. So it starts with Charlie.
That's Ambrose. A person now. It's my favorite. What a way to actually, from now on, when I get introduced to someone, I'm just like, so that's a person now. I now know about. They exist now to me. They're a person now.
Right, right, right. They're there. They're in the story. So it starts with Shirley Ambrose has always been a person who hummed. I probably just hadn't noticed. So she is very annoyed by him humming. She's like, isn't it time for you to go get coffee? And he's like, don't you want to do it and see Leo? And she's like, no. Basically, she's like, I'm deep in these place cards right now. And they have the same size stack, and so he's skeptical of this. And she's like, I tried to sound breezy and offhand, two things I never was. Same girl.
Oh my god.
Not relate more.
I've never been breezy a day in my life.
Not a day in my life. Yeah. He's like, wait, I thought you guys had a good time the other night. And she's like, oh, we did. This is also, this brought me back because I don't think a lot of people hire calligraphers for their wedding stuff anymore. But both of my sisters and my brother's first wedding was with calligraphy, and I hand wrote mine.
Yeah, I typed mine up on a computer because my handwriting is trash. Hashtag lefty problems. And yeah, I just typed them up with the Star Wars font that I found and used for a lot of things for my wedding. So that is what I use. But yes, calligraphy is a big thing. Yeah. Friend of the show, now come up two episodes in a row. Katie did learn calligraphy herself. She went to calligraphy classes. So she wrote them herself, but in calligraphy. And it was beneficial to me because I also was getting married at the time. So for my bridal shower, she did write out things in calligraphy for me, for like the little like signs to let people know like what they were eating and stuff, you know, or what they were drinking at my bridal shower. So
Katie is like, where does she get the drive? Where does she get the energy?
I'm telling you, like, it's insane.
It's insane. Like the runs.
I wish I had it.
I wish I had even an ounce of it to know that she learned calligraphy for her wedding. I didn't know
a wedding gown. That calligraphy classes were a thing that existed until she was like, taking some calligraphy classes so I can do my own calligraphy for the wedding. And I was like, come again? That's a thing that exists. God. But the second she said it, I was like, that tracks. You would be the person who would take calligraphy classes and do your own calligraphy for your wedding. And I will say the calligraphy she did for my bridal shower and the calligraphy she did for her wedding were top notch. So good work. I'm going to give her flowers on that. But couldn't be me. Again, found a Star Wars font online. Type those little bitches up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what I did. Ambrose going to get the coffee. Yes.
Yes, calligraphy. Mm-hmm. So she's like, I'm just, you know. And she's like, usually when you trail off, people just finish the sentence. But Ambrose's head was clearly still full of beats and choruses because he said, you're what? And she said, I'm busy and it's your job. And he's like, whoa, sorry. Okay, I'll go do it right now. And so he gets up, he goes to the back office to get the money. Then he goes over to the coffee shop. He's whistling the whole time. She said, I was sure he'd never done that before. And she's like, so he was happy. No crime in that. And just because he'd had a great time with Lauren the night before, he hadn't said so exactly. But the music making spoke volumes. Didn't mean he was going to win our bet and me lose.
Yeah, that's what you're concerned about here is the bet.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what's the problem here, obviously. And she just gets like progressively more grumpy as like he keeps bringing up Lauren. She's like, I just had to keep going on.
I just drank my water with the lid still on.
killing it always.
Can't wait to watch that back.
Watch us on YouTube to see Bethany drink out of her water bottle without taking cap off.
Quality content. Oh gosh. Okay.
Anyway, he was like, I only had to keep going on dates, just like I'd done with Leo. I wasn't humming, but I'd done it. So she's like, I'm doing things too.
Look at me. I went out with a boy.
Yeah. It's not just Lauren. So after she says, after Lauren and Ambrose left that the night before, her and Leo talked for an hour or so, mostly about his writing, obviously. Jilly came over every few occasionally to complain that the party sucked and she wanted to leave. And then at 11, she bumped into some guy she knew from a food truck, big food truck community there. And she stays there with him because she wanted to stay indefinitely. And so Leo brings Luna home on his bicycle. And He expects to get invited in. It's 2 a.m., by the way, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, buddy, it's not happening.
Right. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. She's not in high school anymore, but she's 18.
She's like practically still a high schooler. Okay.
Right, right. Yeah, so then they sit outside her house instead because she's like, I'm not bringing you inside my house. She was tired of talking and tired in general, trying to come up with a good exit strategy, but Leo was going full speed about his writing. I'm sure he was. Really, it's all a process. You have to dig, you know? Fiction is blood, sweat, tears, shit, all mixed together, like the lotus from the mud. If you nurture it, something beautiful comes.
Okay, sure, dude.
A little much.
Yeah.
I could admit this all sounded exotic and dramatic at one point, but that had been a few hours earlier, and I didn't even really understand what this book was about. She says, she responds with, that's cool, which is a response that she has in her little circle of responses, including wow and interesting, and I never saw it like that. Now he smiled like I was cute before reaching out and rubbing his thumb along the side of my mouth and then down my chin, which sounds very awkward.
Yeah.
She's like, maybe I had something on my face, but then he leans in for a kiss, and she very clearly does not want to kiss this man, but she does. Lots of tongue.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, I let it go on for a long enough period so as to not seem rude. And there's so much just in that one sentence there about girlhood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like you just have to, it's safer to put up with a advance, someone like making a move on you than it is to like try to push it off because, you know, like, yeah. And you're like, well, I don't want to be rude. And it's like, ugh, no, don't kiss the guy you don't want to kiss.
Get murdered, you know.
Yeah, or get murdered. Exactly. Like, right. They're outside. Like, something could so easily. She literally said, like, I had a flash of a vampire whipping a cape over his head, which was not exactly romantic. Like, first of all, this guy sounds like it wasn't smooth, but also, like, that's literally how it feels. Like yeah. A mythical creature attacking you and not, like, you know, what it should be, which is, like, a nice, consenting, romantical moment.
Mm-hmm.
This guy... Mm-hmm. Clearly doesn't care because, again, she mentions, you know, she basically is just cycling through three things while he's been droning on for hours about his book in progress.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, and he hasn't even noticed. And it's like, yeah, because he's not talking with you. He's talking at you. Like, he just likes the sound of his own voice and his stuff. And again, I'm sure Leo learned literally nothing about Luna on this evening. And then basically, you know, assaults her with a kiss. And she's like, all right.
Yep.
Let's keep this going on for a minute so I'm not rude and I don't get murdered.
Yes. And then she gets up and she's like, I got to go. And he's like, are you sure? And she's like, yep, got to go. And he's like, okay, cool. I get it. And she gets up and he's like, I'll see you at work, I guess. And she's like, sure. She starts walking up the walk, relieved to finally be wrapping things up. But after she'd only taken a few steps, he said, it's the bet, right? Just dates, nothing more. FYI, I didn't really want that either. And she's like, okay.
What a little egotistical, like.
Yes.
Idiot. Like, it can't possibly be me. I'm irresistible. It's just because you have this bet, right? And like, also like, it's fine. I don't want anything serious either. Like, gag me.
I know. It's so gross. This man is gross. Also, he smokes cigarettes. Yuck.
Yeah.
But yeah, she says, okay. And he was like, it is. Okay, I mean. And she's like, alrighty. He was still on the curb when she went inside. She's like, not totally terrible of a night, just weird. And it did not leave me humming, whistling, and walking with a literal bounce in my step, something I noticed as Ambrose passed me heading out for the coffees. He asks if she wants anything, like a melty donut.
Which I'm like, glazed. Yeah, I was like, what is a melty donut? I like a donut, but I don't know if I want it melting. Like, what?
It's bread. She is like, no. Realizing that she sounds a little abrupt, she was like, thank you. He gives her a thumbs up. Ira's wearing a green bandana today. And she bends over to pet him, and she notices that he's still whistling. So he's very happy about something. Very happy. So just then her phone rings. Enough time had passed that sometimes I didn't even notice my Lexi Navigator ringtone anymore. Today, though, for whatever reason, the opening chords made my heart hurt in a way it had not in a while.
Aww, I'm
so sad for her. It's Jilly. She's like, happy Wednesday. And she's like, oh, is it? And she's like, sure, it's hump day, sunny and gorgeous. And we're on our way to get one of the best biscuits in town. It's perfect. So she is like Disney princess mood as well. Crawford is like, you're being weird today. And she's like, oh, hush. The gravy truck is actually right over near you. Can you take a break? I want you to meet Michael Salem. He goes by Michael Salem. Salem is his middle name.
Now that's a person, you know? So that's a now, person now.
So now that's a person now. Michael Salem.
Michael Salem.
Welcome to being a person.
Welcome. Welcome to personhood, buddy. We're happy to have you here. What a great name. Michael Salem.
Michael Salem. Like, he's the kind of guy who does magic tricks. Did I bring up my magic tricks thing on the podcast?
Wait, did you? Wait. Okay. Refresh my memory. Let me see if this sounds familiar. It's not currently.
I need to know. Remember when we were kids, there were like magic shops and every kid was like had a top hat and a little stick. Oh, yes.
Okay. You brought this up in the group chat, but you have not brought this up on the podcast yet. No.
Okay. Very important. I know we have listeners with children, so give me feedback here because I want to know, is magic still a thing? Is magic, or has technology taken that kind of imagination?
Like wanting to become like a magician. Like, is that still a thing?
Yes. Also, like, famous magicians, like, do we really have those anymore?
Right. Because, like, our generation, like, we had some famous magicians, and it was, like, a big thing, and people would go to shows of them, and again, that made, you know, kids want to go, like, be a magician and whatever. But, yeah, like, are people still doing that?
Like, Penn and Teller was making guest appearances in freaking everything.
Mm-hmm.
I used to watch their magic shows on TV all the time.
Big to do. And then, yeah, like now it's like, I always think of Arrested Development when people talk about magicians, and I think of Job like wanting to be a magician.
I haven't watched that.
And you're not missing out on much. It's one of the things that like Mike made me watch, and admittedly, there are some good things. Like I like Lucille a lot. She gives like Emily Gilmore vibes, so I like her a lot, and I like certain aspects of it, but other things not so much.
I tried to watch it because obviously every single guy I've ever met in my entire life is like, this is the best show ever.
Every single one of them.
And I'm like, okay, great. I tried to watch it, could not get into it. It was just not really my thing, honestly.
No.
Which is fine.
It's not fine. I like the here's $10, go see a Star Wars. Again, Lucille's my favorite character.
There's some good one-liners.
Yeah. The good for her comes the like everyone posts online when something is happening, which also like no one realized for years that she's holding a cupcake. Like everyone's like, why did I just assume she was like holding a teacup and a saucer or something? And straight up a cupcake.
It's a cupcake. I love that. Anyway, I want to know if kids still fantasize. About pulling rabbits out of top hats.
Yes. Please hit us with the intel if you happen to have any.
Hold on. I just dropped my cap.
Oh, no. She dropped the cap. This is the hard-hitting things that we talk about on Hate Spinnerbait now. Last episode, we're like, kids know about Gumby? We're like, do the youth know about magicians? To find out what things we're hypothesizing on whether or not the children know about.
It's just like they have so much tech. Like, this is like the iPad kid generation. Like, they've had technology, advanced technology, since they came out of the womb. So I'm like,
those things aren't as exciting. Like, game shops. Yeah. And I don't mean like game shops as in like video game shops, but I mean like board game, like D&D shops are like such a big, they like had a resurgence in the last 2 years because of like millennials and probably some Gen Z as well. But I'm so curious. I'm like, I don't think that those are sustainable. Like, I think that they're about to like start shutting down again because like the generation that's being brought up now, like I just can't imagine that being like a brick and mortar fantasy board game being like a thing that interests. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that they are, but I hope them are people's kids' imaginations are still alive and well, but I have my doubts, unfortunately.
Yeah. Cause I was thinking about it and I was like, I don't really remember. I mean, granted I moved away when the kids were still pretty young, so I could have just missed it, but I don't remember any of the kids in my family like any sort of magician thing.
Yeah. And so I don't think any of my nieces and nephews or have had shown any interest in that. And they're not even like, you know, iPad kids or anything. Like, they're not screen kids, but it's just like, yeah, I don't think, like, again, like when we grew up, magicians were like such a thing, like you were aware of it, and now kids growing up are like, I want to be a prank YouTuber. Prank YouTubers and the new magicians, I bet you, because like that's what they are seeing now, like that's all the rage for them, which like, oh yikes, you know. But
Jesus Christ.
And this is why, have I brought this up on the show before? I feel like I have. I'm so sorry if I have. But this is why I'll send everyone suddenly into Alex Warren and I can never get down with him. I'm like, he started off with a prank YouTube channel. Are we all just forgetting that? We're all supposed to take this white man seriously now? Nah. Ain't doing it. Ain't doing it.
We don't take white men seriously in this house.
Yeah. We just don't. I'm sorry.
Oh. Oh, he's a singer?
Yeah. And like everyone's like, oh my God, like I love him. And I was like, he literally got famous for being a prank YouTuber. And we're like, gonna listen to him sing love songs about his wife now? I'm sorry. No, not doing it.
It's so weird.
Not doing it. But yeah.
Back to the book.
Anyhow.
Yeah, so she goes, he's like big butthurt about it. They are back and the present time, Jilly is calling her. She's also in a very bumpy, happy mood. We're, Michael Salem, that's what got us on our... That's what got us on. Michael Salem.
It's always like, let's trace this back. How did we get on this tangent?
Yeah. Michael Salem, because I, when I picture someone named Michael Salem, I picture a little weird kid who likes magic. So that's magic, what, that's where it came
Salem
from.
Salem just makes me think magic, which is stuff. Yeah.
And he's like, does he always go by his first and last names? And she's like, Salem is his middle name. And I think it's cute. So Jilly is down bad here as well.
She's down bad. She's down bad. Hopefully she's not crying at the gym. She might be.
Hopefully not. I don't think we need any more of those. Mm-hmm. So she's like, yes, this is the guy from the party last night. But he's not just a guy from a party, if you know what I mean. And she's like, what do you mean? And she's like, you know, I like him a lot, like a very much lot. She says she thinks I was about to tell her she'd only just met him, that it couldn't possibly be that serious. But I knew the tone of her voice, that buoyant giggle, the sudden glint the world got on a morning after like this. Clearly, Epic was going around. Too bad I'd already had my turn. Oh, She's like, that's great, Jilly. Like, I'm so happy for you. And Jilly's like, it's early, but like, he's just like so great, blah, blah, blah. And he's a redhead with freckles. And then I tried to think, I was like,
ginger.
I was like, is this a man from another book? But no, we definitely haven't met a Michael Salem.
No. Yeah. We've met Michaels. We have met a ginger, but we have never met Michael Salem, who is a ginger.
Okay.
So, because what's his face? I think Ted? Is it Ted that's the ginger in this lullaby? I don't know. One of Dexter's friends slash bandmates is a ginger. Ted. And I want to say it's Ted.
Is it? But
Don't quote me on that. Because there's one that's like, what are all their names? I don't know.
Somebody's screaming at us.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Sorry, guys. Anyway. Yeah, she's like, he's a redhead with freckles. And Luna's being a supportive friend, even though she's sad, sad, sad. And we love that. Wow. She's like, oh, I can't wait to meet him. And Jilly's like, well, come to the truck. Like, you can meet him right now. Crawford's in the background with the kids being like, the other two kids being like, there's four of them, actually, right? Anyway.
No.
I wanted a muffin, Crawford said. Kit Kat, the twins, say, me too. We hate biscuits. And Jilly's still, like, in a haze of euphoria, is like, hush up. And Luna is like, no, I can't. We have this huge rehearsal dinner. There's tons of stuff to do. Jilly was disappointed by this, but only for about 2 seconds.
Yeah, she moves on quickly. She's a girl in love.
She says, we'll double date you and the lumberjack. Hey, how did that go anyway? You looked like you were having fun. She's like, it was fine. At that moment, Ambrose comes in with his coffee. He's humming again, giving her a jaunty salute. She says, I tried not to grimace, probably failed. She's like, I'll fill you in later. She's like, give me a call whenever you can, blah, blah, blah. So she did not try to match Jilly's enthusiasm at the end of that call. She puts down the phone and picks up another seating card, folding it. As she reached for another one, a slim paperback with the cover featured a line drawing of a field, one crow flying overhead. Harvest, it said on the cover. I looked at Ambrose, who was taking a seat beside me. What's this? Alone from Leo. He said to take your time with it. Of course he did. She this pulled guy. The book over, a novel by McKellen McClatchy. The first line is, in a world, in a field, a plow sits. Harvest has come. Yes, Sarah.
It's so good.
Drag them, Sarah.
They're so serious. So self-important.
They're such good writers.
They're a little story told from the point of view of the plow. So serious.
And she's like, ugh, for God's sake. And he's like, oh, are you okay? And she's like, I'm fine. I just want to work. And he's like, sure, let's work. A moment later, he started humming again.
Is I love that hum- one. Oh, go ahead. Hit me with it.
I was just going to say, I love that. I'm asking myself, is he humming because of Lauren or is he humming because he knows that Jilly had an awful time on that date? Not Jilly. Luna.
Luna. Yeah, that's a good question. That's a very good question. Which one is it? Because I definitely feel like both of them are like trying to act things up a little bit here. Because like she specifically, what I was going to say is she's going to, like, she's talking to Jilly. She's probably about to be like a little bit more honest. And then she sees Ambrose walking back in and she's like, I'll fill you in later. Like, she doesn't want to like admit that her date was terrible to Ambrose in front of him, even though, again, like by her sour mood, it's clear that it's terrible. So yeah, like, is he humming because he's like, oh, like things aren't going well for like that date didn't go well. Or yeah, is he humming because he actually is interested in Lauren? I don't know. But I feel like both of them are definitely like playing their little parts in front of each other. Like her not wanting to like her mostly sour mood is because he seems to be in a good mood and she's like, what the hell, like why is he in such a good mood, like last night he like just met this girl and like I, you know, again, she's got all in her head from William and then he sees her and, you know, she's all miserable. So yeah, is that making him happy? Not happier that she's miserable, but like happy that like the date didn't go well. But yes, I find it very interesting. I feel like they're definitely both like putting on a little bit of a front in front of the other. And
yes,
I'm here for it.
I am here for it. So then we skip ahead. We're at the rehearsal dinner, I believe, for Eleanor. They are lighting candles, setting up. The week hadn't been great, but it at least had been busy. Eleanor Lynn's rehearsal dinner and wedding distracted her from Ambrose's cheerful mood and Jilly's own epic night, which I'd heard all about in the days since. Michael Salem, he was indeed always referred to by this double moniker. Crazy. had just graduated from the Fountain School, of course. Skateboarded in competitions, had four siblings, just like her. She shows her a picture of him leaning out of the gravy truck. He is definitely not Jilly's type. She thinks to herself.
Sometimes that's what it takes, ladies. Stay outside your time.
Yep, exactly. Okay, yeah, her mom is talking to Eleanor's mom, and the mothers of the bride can always be a little bit annoying. And it looks like this mother of the bride is being annoying, trying to make rules and set things. She's like, I want somebody to stand here. And her mom's like, Eleanor doesn't want anyone to stand there. And she's like, well, I put someone there. That's that. let me see. I missed something. So with that, she walked away. Mom is just watching her go, face calm, but eyes narrowed. There was no counter argument to a person telling you you are wrong and then what to do, even if you were a Natalie Barrett. She feels a rush of protectiveness. And then mom glances at her and she quickly goes back to work. She lit the wick of a candle, and right as she did, someone leaned over and blew it out, which is Ambrose, obviously. He says, sorry. He said quickly, I just can't light a candle without making a wish and blowing it out. It's some kind of birthday neurosis. And she's like, well, then you definitely shouldn't be doing this job. And he's like, it's okay. I'm just lighting them, wishing and blowing, and then lighting them again. She's like, it had been a long day, but just about anything had the potential to cross the line of just too damn much. But there was something about this that shot me over it. Are you serious? He's like, what? That is the stupidest, most waste of time thing I've ever heard. Ouch, he says. Are you mad at me? And she's like, it's not professional. Making wishes, lighting candles twice. You're here representing our company. You need to act like it. And he is like, okay. He like kind of looks around at the empty
like, all right. place.
And he's like, I'll stop. And then he leaves, goes to the other side of the table, and she goes back to her own work. She says, I found myself pausing, though, with the next candle I lit, thinking of what he'd said, but I didn't make a wish. What was the point? By 6:55, all the candles were done, and the guests were pulling up. Luna gets the job to stand by the gazebo and direct guests to their table. The first people who walked up didn't even acknowledge her, just got their seating card and went in. As another group approached, I looked across the tables. Oh, yeah. Ambrose is standing with William over by the pond, talking about something. His face was animated, and William nodded politely, seeming kind of charmed. She says, I thought of Jilly earlier and all day, really. The unique quality to a person's voice when you know they are just as happy to hear themselves say something as they are to tell it to you. Of course, I couldn't say Ambrose was definitely talking about Lauren. It could have been Ira or anything. And yet, she's like, and yet it was Lauren. She's like, it's Lauren.
But it really could be anything. What would William be charmed by? I don't think William would be charmed by Lauren. Come on, girl.
Come on, girl.
Come on, girl. I love just how, like, yeah, how grumpy our girl is here. And I love that. Honestly, it is too damn much, the candle thing. It is. But it's so funny. Like, when you love someone, you're like, oh, that's so endearing and so cute. And when you're, like, peeved at someone, you're like, this is so annoying. Like,
yeah, get the fuck away from me with your whimsy.
Like, yeah, exactly. How dare you be whimsical right now? I can't handle it. And it just cracks me up. Oh, man.
So then Ben Reed walks in, which is a guy she went to school with.
They also a person now.
Also a person now. Welcome. Ben Reed. he knows the bride's brother. He has had a girlfriend, Amy Tellman, who he's dated since middle school. And she's like, oh, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, Albert Lynn and I grew up doing the camps together, which I'm assuming is her brother. So she's like, he's like, but what about you? Why are you here? And she's like, oh, my mom's the wedding planner. I'm working. She finds his table card and hands it out to him. And she's like, you're a table six. He says, thank you. And he's like, wow, I wish I brought a date. And so this prompts Luna to be like, oh, how's Amy, your girlfriend? And he's like, we broke up. And she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And he's like, yep, it was her decision last summer before college, wanting to make a fresh start at UC Berkeley, blah, blah. I should have seen it coming. And Luna says, well, I didn't. And he says, me neither. I'm basically gutted. Anyway, it's great to see you, especially without having our teacher droning on about global implications in front of us. He did love The Big Consequences. And she's like, have fun tonight. He makes a face and starts walking away. Halfway to his table, he turns around and glances at her, and she looks away quickly because she was still watching him. And then a couple of people walk up. Wait, what is this? The tables? How do we know which number we are? And so then she did find somebody that needed to be directed to their table.
Those were the boomers.
Yes, sure. 100%. The end of the rehearsal dinner is different from that of a wedding. Even if it's late, there's still a sense of anticipation and excitement. The big event still ahead. That is, if you're a guest, when you're working, it's one down, one to go. Ambrose is like, are you sure you won't get upset? She gives Ambrose an apologetic look. No, and I shouldn't have said it earlier. I'm just super grumpy for some reason. I'm sorry. He says, okay. He blew out the candle. She wondered what he wished for. And he says, I didn't realize Leo was such a bust as a date. And she's like, he wasn't. It was me. And Ambrose is like, oh, Lauren seems to think otherwise. And she's like, you talked to Lauren about this? And he's like, well, yeah, Leo is her best friend. I figure she'd have insight. What was he asking her for insight for?
Yeah, just curious, Ambrose. Just curious.
Spending your time with Lauren talking about Luna.
Talking about Luna. Isn't that interesting?
Very interesting. Yeah, she's like, did she? And he's like, yeah, she said that he's great if you've known him forever, like she has, but in college she's become a bit ... Luna's like, I waited, curious about exactly what adjective he would follow. And he finishes with insufferable. He finished. She blames his writing professor and hopes it's just a phase. I don't know, girl. I'm sorry. You might have lost him forever.
Yeah, I think he's gone. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. But she understands he probably isn't the best boyfriend material. And Luna's like, well, good thing I'm not the one who has to stick in a long-term relationship. And he said, oh, I've got you beat, no question. Lauren will make it easy. Which is like, damn, Ambrose.
Yeah, I'm like, that's...
Harsh,
my dude. So harsh.
After all the whistling, hummy, bouncy steps, and general good cheer, the fact he felt this way shouldn't have been any kind of a surprise, but hearing it, for whatever reason, was still difficult. She had a flash of him when they were doing that photo shoot of him standing behind her. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, she seems great. And he's like, she's awesome. Don't feel bad. It was just a super stroke of luck. She showed up when she did that night. And Luna's like, I'm still in this. All I have to do is date a bunch of people once, and I'm doing that. And he's like, true, true. So are you saying you have another prospect already lined up?
My husband is creeping on me right now. Sorry, everyone. Yes, can I assist you? No, just wanted to do a serving. Yeah. Okay. All right, love you.
He's like, I need attention. Yeah. Brethany.
Play with me. Play with me. It's giving me sometimes.
Oh, yeah. So he's like, oh, so do you have another prospect lined up? Very curious about that. She's like, I'm working on it. She's like, which wasn't really a lie. But she hadn't. She said, what I've actually been mulling a bit worriedly was that if Jilly was so into Michael Salem, I'd be losing the one person who was happy to set me up repeatedly, unless he had lots of friends. And Ambrose is like, oh, well, good. It's no fun if we can't keep it interesting. And she's like, oh, don't worry about that. You just focus on you. And she walks over to another table to blow out the candles. And she's like, once done, I looked up to see him staring at me. And she's like, what? And he's like, you really don't make a wish, like, ever? And she's like, it's not my birthday. This isn't a cake. And he's like, yeah, it doesn't have to be. Like, just, you could ask for something, just given the chance, like, putting it out on the universe, in the universe, like, that means something, you know. She's like, wishes don't come true. And he's like, you don't need anything, your life is perfect. And she was like, I just don't want to burst your bubble, but just because you make them doesn't increase the chances of them working. And he's like, you don't really know that. And that's true, I guess. So she looked down at the row of four flames in front of her, still lit. She's like, let's just agree to disagree. That's your thing, like stealing dogs and doing the conga doesn't mean it has to be mine, right? And he's like, that's how you sum me up? Dog stealer and conga dancer? And she's like, and wish maker. And she's like, I'm just not, okay? He held my gaze for a second, and I had the fleeting thought out of nowhere that he might say it wasn't. Instead, though, he came over and bent down and then closed his eyes, blowing out the row from one end to another. When he was done, he gave me a smile and walked off to the next table. It wasn't until later, driving home, that I realized he'd never answered my question. But I knew the real reply to his. My last birthday, I'd closed my eyes and thought of nothing when I leaned over my cake. You stop believing in wishes when the only one you want to make can never come true.
Luna.
I'm devastated for Luna.
I'm so devastated for her. I love the little dance that her and Ambrose had in this chapter, but I'm devastated for her.
You can, like, tell they're both, like, forcing happiness and being like, so what are you doing next? Oh, yeah. Well, who are you dating next?
Everything's
like,
going great for me. How about you?
We're feeling wonderful.
Glad we're keeping it interesting. And it's like, oh my God, just shut up and kiss already. Like,
shut up and kiss already.
Gosh, y'all clearly like each other. Okay. Just these boys yes. And these girls, they just, All right. Chapter 18, the time has come. Now that we've had adorable bands and we ended on a heartbreaking note of you stop leaving wishes or anything you want to make can never come true, we're going to fully just gut punch you here with chapter 18, okay?
Yeah. Buckle up. Here we go.
Right in. That morning in all caps, you instantly know. You know the two words. You know where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
I texted Ethan as soon as I woke up, like I did every day. I never got out of bed until I saw his return message pop up on my screen. He wishes her a good morning. Again, she's kind of going on about how this is their routine. With that, she pushes back her covers. She goes downstairs where her mom is watching Daybreak USA, her favorite morning show. I do love mom's like diatribe about this morning show, her like talking about them.
Yeah.
She says she does like a running commentary and it is pretty funny. Melissa's just too thin these days. I know she's going through that divorce, but she needs to take care of herself. She says that during the school year, so she's, you know, while her mom is doing this running commentary on her little morning show, she's asking her what's going on. She says during the school year, she's not as informed with the weddings and stuff because she only works there on the weekend. Apparently, it's Rachel Quaker's. Is it Quaker? Quaker. Quaker. I'll say Quack. Quaker. This is my brain. Okay, so passing out. Okay. Rachel Quaker's rehearsal dinner. And she asks about her mom. Is that the one with the bunking Bronco? And she's like, it's a mechanical bull. Apparently there's going to be an homage to her home state, complimentary cowboy hats. There's going to be barbecue, this whole jazz. Her mom is opposed. I think it's kind of fun. I love the theme. Make it fun. Weddings don't have to be stuffy. Do you, especially the rehearsal dinner. Like, yeah, I was like, that's fun. That's different. I like it. I'm into it. Natalie Barrett is not. That's okay.
No.
She's worried someone's going to break their neck. Hopefully it's not the bride or groom. And then she's over here talking about Patrick Williams. He said so much Botox, he can't even look concerned for those poor people on that wrecked ferry. This is like such a, like, I feel like a mom thing to do. Just sit there and like talk about these people like you know them. It's great. So her breakfast is ready. She's like, gotta go meet up with Jilly to study for the Spanish quiz that she's worried about. She gets a text from Jilly that apparently there's a lunchbox fail. Be there ASAP, courtyard. So she, again, is basically taking her brothers and sisters to school, being mini mom, which is, as stated every week, just ridiculous. She hears her ringtone, the special Alexi Navigator ringtone. Ethan comes on. He's like, hola, Nina Bonita. ¿Estás lista para las probra? I can't remember how to say test in prueba in Espanol. Apologies to everyone who speaks Spanish for my terrible Espanol there. Yeah. Sincerest apologies. So he's probably thinks off in Spanish, and she's like, I don't know any of this. This does not bode well for me. And he's like, yeah, I asked if you're ready for the test. Also, I called you pretty girl, which, like, oh my God, what a little sweetie. And she's like, well, that's nice. And the answer is clearly no. Apparently he drives to school with his buddies. They're all talking about, they're like, oh my God, are you like talking to your girlfriend again? And like, you're always talking to your girlfriend. Aren't we stopping for donuts? And she's like, oh my God, like, you know, this never gets old. Like hearing like someone, you know, refer to her as like, you know, his girlfriend. And he says that he can't stop for donuts because he has to go meet his coach in his office before Laidville. Oh, God.
Go get donuts.
Go get donuts. For the love of God, go get donuts.
Please go get donuts.
Please. He's really nervous about it. Luna's being super sweet. She's, you know, saying about, like, if you're getting called in for a special meeting, like, he's, you know, said it's only a good or a bad thing. And she's been assuring him since last night that it's good. You know, be sure to text me. I'm so curious. And he's like, yeah, you and me both. Like, better go. We'll talk at lunch. She's like, yep. And she's like, I tell you how, like, badly I bombed the quiz. And again, he responds in Spanish. And she's like, I don't know what that is. And he says, love you. And she says, love you too. Talk soon. Good. Yeah. Okay. So she pulls into the lot. It's 7:55. She still doesn't see Jilly. She's trying to study, but like, so much for studying. Like, Jilly hasn't shown up. She's not going to get a chance to. And also, you know, like, Luna seems a little distracted. She's worried about Jilly, wondering where she is, if she's going to make it to this quiz on time. She's worried about, you know, Ethan, because he's stressed out about his thing. She gets to class. She starts taking the test. She's not feeling great about it, but she finishes. And as it goes on, she's kind of like, okay. So again, she's like, Jilly like doesn't show up. And she's like, what the heck? Like, this is not good. And she says, you know, she sees someone pass by. She thinks it's Jilly. It's not her. At 9:05, the bell rings. It's the end of the first period. She pulls out her phone, you know, expecting to see text, but she still doesn't see anything. And now she's getting like a little bit worried, and she's like, I gotta get to art history. As usual, everyone seemed to be moving super slowly. I was in a rush. She said the hallway was packed with people. Everyone seems to be standing around the TV in the main office looking at something, but it didn't occur to me to see what it was. Because again, if it's a normal day for you, why would it? She goes outside. Again, Jilly was late, and Jilly shows up in a panic. So Luna's first response is, oh my God, something has happened to her. Something's happened to one of the kids. Like, what's going on? And so she says, you know, she hears a trembling. It makes her stop where she is. And, she's like, oh my God, is everything okay? And she's like, no, it's not, Luna. There's been a shooting. And she's like, what? And her teacher's kind of like beckoning her to come in. And she's like, you know, like, I don't understand. And in response, she pulls out her phone, breaking, it said, in yellow block letters on the screen above an image of a flat cinder block building with a flagpole out front, a tiger painted on its side. Shooter confirmed at high school, Brownwood, New Jersey. I looked at the words trying to make sense of them. So things are kind of starting to click into place for her. She says, oh my God. And immediately, of course, pulls out her own phone to try to talk to Ethan to make sure that he's okay. She says, because Ethan was fine, he had to be. What were the chances? So this is where Jillie kind of fills her in on what's been going on with her. She was late with a stupid lunchbox. She happens to hear about on the radio. She says it was in the gym. At least that's what they were saying. This makes, you know, Luna feel a little bit better. Ethan's first class is English. I knew this super well. He wouldn't have been in the gym. He starts in the main building. So, you know, Jillie, of course, is trying to reassure her. She's like, oh, good. You know, like, I just heard Brownwood and there were fatalities and I had to see you or had to let you know, you know, like, let you know about this. So she's just waiting for the little bubbles, you know, the little typing bubbles to show up that he's responding, but nothing. And her class is like, or her teacher's like, hello, like, what are you doing standing out here? And Jillie's like, you know, like, I'm sure he's fine. Like, you know, she says it's a huge school. He always says so. Luna says that, and Jillie's reassuring her, and she's like, yeah, 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 like, he wasn't even near there, and she's like, I guess, you know, I gotta go to class. So she goes in class, and Jillie's like, yeah, I'm sure he'll text you any minute, like, please let me know, and she's like, of course, and her teacher, you know, standing there lecturing about surrealists, and she can't pay any attention. She says, not that I could have told you then or now what she said. I wrote not one word on the empty white page with a notebook in front of me, my eyes instead on my phone screen, which I had hidden under my coat in my lap. Our school, like Ethan's and most others, had a strict in-class no-screen policy that I usually followed. But that day, I would have fought someone to keep it close and on. By the time the bell rang, there was still no word. I'm going to be honest, and I understand she's, like, in shock. I wouldn't have been able to go to class. I would have been like, and I'm leaving for the day. Thank you. I will be glued to my phone.
I don't have so kudos any to idea her.
Like, how I would respond. Yeah. Because, like, how do you respond? And I think that's kind of the thing. Like, she's, I mean, clearly just very much in shock by all of this. The minute she gets back outside, class is over, she tries to call him again. Please let me know you are okay. She texts and she says, you know, no dots. I felt suddenly sick and lurched over to a nearby trash can, pulling my hair back, but nothing happened. Just people pushing past, talking on their way to class like any other day. Then a beep. Thank God, I thought, tears springing to my eyes. Unfortunately, the word is from Jillie asking if there is any word. And she's like, no, it wasn't until I was about halfway there that I remembered something about my conversation with Ethan that morning. Said I'd meet Coach in his office before the late bell. And it suddenly kind of dawns on her, oh, shit, he would have been either near the gym or in the gym when this took place. She goes ahead. She says she stops. I stopped walking right where I was, causing someone to bump me from behind. They exhaled, then cut around me as I opened my news app. The latest wasn't hard to find. It was right at the top. Breaking story, shooting at New Jersey High School. I clicked the link, which took me to a picture of that same school building and flagpole, this time with cop cars parked all around the front of it. Three bullet points designed for scanning quickly were below. Which again, like, this is literally how these stories always go, but like, isn't that shitty? Like, this is so common that it's like, here's a quick thing so you know, so you can be up to date on the latest children death. Shots fired just before first period around 8:20 a.m. Multiple victims reported in gym area. Shooter believed to be current student acting alone. 8:20, I thought. I'd just gotten my Spanish quiz. Ethan should have been in English, trying not to look at the hair of the girl in front of him, which he maintained was so greasy it literally dripped onto his desk. I knew this. I knew everything about him, so how did I not know if he was all right? The hallway was emptying as everyone went into classrooms and down the nearby staircase. Moments earlier, it had been packed, elbow to elbow with me, just one sea of people. Now I stood there staring at my screen until all the doors around me shut and I was the only one left standing alone. I told myself I wasn't moving until I knew something, that I'd stop time in this interim. Later, it would seem silly that I thought I could do this, have some control over events already unfolded. But I believed in a lot of things before. I never heard from Ethan again. Jesus Christ. And that's terrible.
That is so
heavy. Absolutely terrible. Yeah. So heavy. Brutal. I just basically wanted to read that last like page in full because I can't do it justice. Like, you just have to hear it because it's so so that's what a note to leave you all on. I apologize.
Sorry.
Again, kudos to Sarah for her beautiful writing. I am annoyed once again that this is still so relatable and still such a problem in this country. But here we are. So yay. Not yay, obviously. Yep. But yeah, take care of yourselves. Again, yes. We are recording this on September 1st. So hopefully in the interim, since we have recorded, I don't know, there's something good to look forward to in life for you personally or on a national scale. Who knows? But yeah, times are tough out there. Speaking of tragedies and mass shootings, something I know near and dear to me and Michael Ann's hearts is the Pulse shooting, since obviously we lived in Orlando. Michael Ann being a part of the queer community of Orlando at a time in her life, and having gone to some, you know, obviously Pulse was the place to be at the time. And we all are familiar with what happened. And then, of course, the state of Florida has made it their personal mission to completely dismantle a, crosswalk that kind of was in honor of the victims. So everything's shit. But maybe in 2 weeks' time when this comes out, we've won. But I doubt it. But it's been a bittersweet story, and that everyone has really, like, fought back and have painted it and use chalk and whatever. And again, basically the moral being, as Mr. Rogers says, always look for the helpers, always look for the good in people and situations. And even when things are really shitty, there's always people showing up with chalk. So
yes,
we got that going for us, you know.
Resist.
Be hopeful in any way that you can. Because if you lose hope, that's when they win. So yeah.
Yes.
All right. Take care of yourselves, everyone. Much love.
Bye.
Bye.